The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey Zed heads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Lucy.
And this is the Walking Dead cast, episode 459. The Reapers are dead!
Long live the Reapers!
Are you sad?
Oh, it's just been a constant mourning in our house this week for the Reapers, for other things that happened. Yeah.
This is like the best Reapers episode, no question.
100% agree with that. Absolutely.
I'll say that right up front. It's been a while since we podcasted on The Walking Dead. Really good to be back. We actually have a quick interview with Ross Marquand that we did in the can, which will be coming out tomorrow as I'm recording this, but it may already be in the feed. So check it out. It had to be a quick one because he was on like a press day and he had like 10 other people to talk to, but it was really nice to catch up with Ross. I think you guys will enjoy it. Also, before we get started on this week's episode, I wanted to let you guys know, even though it has been a while and I haven't been doing a lot of Walking Dead cast episodes lately, I've been really busy upgrading the Podcastica website, and we decided to split out a bunch of shows that we cover on House Podcastica into their own separate podcasts. So we now have Cobra Kai Cast, Handmaid's Tale Podcast, Star Wars TV, my favorite title is the Yellow Jackets WTF podcast, and among others. And also, I'm building out the website. I'm much upgrading it, so now you can search through all of our podcasts. You can search the titles, and there's subscribe buttons. You can listen right from the browser. There's links to all our socials, and you can actually record a voice message right from the site. So check out podcastica.com.
I am on it right now. I had not had a look yet. It is awesome. It looks completely different. And yeah, you can send a voice message really easily.
All the host pictures are in there except for one who hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm looking, trying to find everyone else's pictures. Where are the pictures?
If you go into any of the podcasts, scroll down. They're just really tiny little, but if you can also link to your own personal site through there or whatever you want to link to.
Well, famously, my identity is a well-kept secret, so I'll just send in a drawing of my cat. No, I will.
Wendy gave me a picture of Charlize Theron.
Amazing.
Like, Wendy.
Have you ever seen them in the same place at the same time?
No, I have not. That's true. But I have seen them both.
We love you, Wendy.
But she finally sent me a real one, which is super cute. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, check it out, people. It's like years overdue, but I'm really trying to figure out, you know, how to make this all exciting once The Walking Dead is over. And I got really excited about it. So hopefully you guys will too. But let's get into The Walking Dead. It's Walking Dead Season 11, Episode 9, No Other Way. So what did you think of this episode in general?
I loved it. I thought it was one of the best episodes we've had in a long time. It was pacey. It was quick. I was so glad to be back. It took me a hot minute to remember the state of play of everything. So I handily made a very quick guide to what the state of play is when this episode opens from last season, third of a season. Pope is dead. Leah killed him. She's pissed off and blamed Daryl. Grace and Judith are stuck in a flooding basement. The rocket launcher is going off, and Maggie and Negan are in the mix.
Yep.
And from there, it just kept going.
Cliffhangery stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was awesome. I agree. One of the best in a while. I mean, I was tempted to say my favorite this season. I had to think back. That one with Connie was really interesting, but I think I did like this one better. It was a real standout, and I'd give it 4.75 gacks.
I'm with you on that. I would say the Connie episode was great, but it almost didn't feel like an episode of The Walking Dead. Yeah. It felt like its own like standalone horror film.
Really.
Yeah. But this for the show as we know and love it, this was the high point so far.
Right. That's very well said. Okay, let's get into our points. What's your first one? By the way, I don't know if I should bother mentioning this, but another thing, I guess while I'm sort of reevaluating everything here and refreshing everything, I've realized that calling it our top five highlights makes it sound more minimal than it really is, because we really go deep. They're not just little highlights. And also having it be a countdown makes it feel like it's our favorite to least favorite points or something like that. So what I've been doing on the other podcast is not calling it our highlights and just saying, what's your next point? So it's just more like, let's talk deeply about this episode and talk about all the things that we're interested in. Just FYI.
Well, great, because I've got 8.
Perfect.
I did that thing where I was like divvying them up and I was like, Jason will have some of these, so I'm going to keep some in the back.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So probably my biggest oh wow of this episode in terms of the story is Maggie and Elijah, because I realized about 20 minutes in that what we're seeing with Maggie and Elijah is Maggie's wish fulfillment of what she wishes someone had done for her. So Elijah wants revenge for the death of his sister, and he wants that revenge by having Carver killed, and that is the thing that he is most focused on. When Glenn died and when they went to war with the Saviors, all Maggie wanted was to see Negan dead. She was like fully about the revenge at that point.
And really upset about Rick not killing him.
Yes, Rick and Michonne denied her that in the name of this bigger thing. So we see initially Elijah's desire for revenge or justice is completely denied by Maggie and Daryl and Gabriel. But that moment where Maggie turns and changes her mind, and the music and the menace of her just walking up with that gun and taking down those two Reapers and coming back for Carver and just knifing him, was so brutal and so just indicative of the change that Maggie has undergone in these last 7 to 8 years of just becoming a much more hardened, brutal person. And I thought I couldn't understand the first watch why Negan was so quiet this episode. Like, he has like one classic Negan ding ding moment, and you see him. I really enjoyed the smirk he gave when Gabriel came over the radio and was like, "My name is Gabriel." And Negan's like, I was like, Negan is all of us at this moment.
Yep.
But at the end, I thought the quiet payoff between him and Maggie of him saying, "You were always going to do what you did. I don't blame you. I'm going to be on my way." It was just, it wasn't the way I thought I wanted that story beat to end, but it really, really worked for me. And seeing that moment for Maggie of just determination and the rift it's probably going to cause with her and Daryl, I think is interesting. Although I don't think it's going to be as big of a rift as we're maybe being led to believe, because I remembered very strongly Maggie and Daryl walking away from those Oceansiders killing Saviors. So I think they have maybe more common ground than we realize here. But yeah, Maggie and Elijah, I thought that was just really wonderfully done.
With Negan, he has been worried about that Maggie would kill him since she came back to Alexandria, but especially since this mission started and they're out in the wild together. That's been his whole thing, you know, ever since everything that happened in the subway. And he's been trying to prove himself valuable and helpful. Well, after he left her to die there, but he really did. I think it's pretty clear he only did that because he was afraid she was going to kill him. Not an excuse, but just where his head was at.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't like just trying to be a killer. But anyway, he's been trying to prove himself valuable and helpful so he could win her over and be able to live peacefully with her, which is what he wants to do. But now, after witnessing her gun down her enemies, he's just like, no, it's only a matter of time before she's going to kill me. That's where he's at. And that the whole scene where he comes up while she's burying Alden, and there were a couple things I didn't like about it. For one, it was a bit cheap that they made it like he's got his knife in his hand, and I'm like,
yeah, they didn't need to do that. I'm like,
that's not a threat. Don't be holding your knife like that.
Yeah.
And she's going to grab for hers. And that was just to fake us out, to make us think. And then actually he's just going to leave. But also, you know, the point of it was he says, you're always going to do what you did, Maggie, meaning kill the Reapers. I don't blame you really, but see, when it comes to me, promise you or not, it's just a matter of time before you make the same call. So I ain't going to give you the chance to do that. I'm going to go my own way. That tells us where he's at, but it's a bit Fear the Walking Dead-y, dead on, let me explicate myself. I mean, really, wouldn't you just leave? Like, don't go tell the person that you're afraid of what you're doing. Just go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe he hadn't decided.
Huh?
Maybe he hadn't decided.
Until he got there and confronted
maybe
her?
Maybe he thought he might kill her. I mean, it'd be stupid if he thought he was going to kill Maggie, to be honest. But
I didn't get that.
Sense. No, I'm with your reading on it, to be honest. I'm just being devil's advocate there. I thought it was also a bit shit that he like watched her dig the whole grave, which must have taken quite a long time and quite a lot of effort. And then he was like, hey, I'm here.
But I, you know, I don't know if he's right, actually. I mean, the Reapers were just straight up trying as hard as they could to kill Maggie and everyone she knows. And so it makes more sense, and I'm sure we'll get into it, to me that she would kill them. But with Negan, he has saved her. He has saved her life a couple of times. He's been working with her. So I think it's not 100% cut and dried that Maggie would eventually kill Negan. But I think I don't blame him for being scared.
I think as well, Lauren Cohen played that moment really well because she looks quite shocked at herself at that moment. I think, I don't know, she kind of, she's broken down by the time she's got to the church and seen what's happened to Alden. And when Negan says that, it's like she wants to defend herself, but she doesn't know herself anymore. I don't know, there was just this sense of like, she just seemed really lost in that moment. Like she couldn't say anything.
Yeah.
Because I think ultimately she knew he was right, but she hated that he was right.
Well, first she thought he was there to kill her.
Mm.
And she's also grieving in the same moment. So it's an emotional moment, you know? It's like, holy shit. But yeah, I think once she really does grok what's going on, who knows what she's thinking. Maybe she's like, good. I would be.
Feeling good as hell.
Yeah. Like, you know, no matter whether Negan is redeemed or not, if someone took a bat to my wife's head and I saw her eye pop out and he was laughing the whole time, I don't think I could ever live peacefully with that person, no matter, even if they like won a Nobel Prize and I don't know, invented the cure for cancer or something. I would
won a Nobel
like,
Prize.
Go off.
That's
and
a
thing,
hell of a life. The hell of a life that person has led. It's like from baseball bat murderer to cure for cancer.
I mean, that's what they're trying to do with Negan. I feel like sometimes it's like, what a great guy he is.
He's like, I'll be back and I will have solved the zombie apocalypse. You're like, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, even if they were like, oh, you know what? He actually had a tumor and we removed it and now he's nice. I just wouldn't be able to look at his face, you know?
No, he's a shit.
Well, they killed, you know, he killed Glenn and Glenn's eye popped out. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think this is the last we'll see of him?
No. I don't think so. Mostly because, well, he's such a big part of the show. And also, I just think it would be a bit of a anticlimactic exit for him. So I think he'll be back.
Mm. Who is it? Was it Norman Reedus said in an interview once, or was it Andrew Lincoln, that they fancied an exit where they just like kind of fucked off into the distance? They're like, maybe I just leave one day. Maybe I just like walk away, it's like, bye. And I'm like, yeah, you don't see that enough.
I feel like that's what Daryl is going to do. You know, well, he'll leave off into his...
he'll peace
show.
Out. It's, yeah.
What do you call it? Spinoff. Okay. Well, maybe I should count that as one of my points since you have a lot. So why don't you go ahead?
Sure. Okay. I did say about Maggie and Elijah's story, there was a moment where Negan was watching Maggie where I think his expression kind of went from sort of casual observer to like being a bit turned on by it. So the less said about that, the better.
But that's interesting because he does respect her a lot, I think. And
oh, yeah.
He fears her. And I think his they're both valid for him to have those
yeah.
feelings. But he may respect her, but he also values his own life. So he wants to get away.
He has what we would call a fear boner.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And it's confusing for him. So he's going to leave. Right. So where were we? Aaron and the Water's Eds. I didn't have high hopes for Judith and Gracie being stuck in this basement, largely because I think, so I read reviews of the show, and there's a few reviewers that I really like, and one of them is Eric Kane, who writes for Forbes.
Yeah.
He usually seems to be on our wavelength.
Yep.
And he finally nailed what it was that I don't like he about Gracie. He hates fear. We love you, Eric. Please come and join our podcast. He said that the thing about Gracie that's annoying is not the actress, but the fact that they've written this kid character who's so helpless in this world. He's like, she's grown up in this world like Judith. She's grown up with these other kids, but they've managed to write her as being like almost unbelievably crap at dealing with these things. And I think he's kind of right. Like, I can buy that she wouldn't be as good as Judith, but I do think they've maybe taken it a bit far, because I also can't imagine Aaron coddling his child that much. Like, he's lost too much. Surely he would want her to be more prepared. But anyway, that said, I thought that Judith and Gracie stuff was a really cool stunt piece. I had a major flashback to, I think it would have been the start of season 5, where I think it was Sasha, Bob, and one other person, but I can't remember who, got stuck with some underwater zombies in maybe the basement of a store. Sure, it might have been, I feel like he was still too wimpy at that point. I might be wrong, though.
I think he might have been being a wimp in the water, but
yeah.
I don't know for sure.
He was just peeing everywhere. It wasn't even a flood. It was just Gabriel peeing himself. And I just got major flashbacks to that Bob episode. And I think it was Karen on the podcast at that point was like, I don't even want to think about the yeast infections you would get after being in that water. So that was a nice callback, I think, to where Bob actually got bitten in season 5. I remember that was the big twist in that episode. It was awesome in terms of how it was shot. I loved seeing Aaron arrive and do this amazing slow motion head smash of the Zed. And I think having the Zeds in the water just adds this element of unpredictability.
It was like Thor in a Marvel movie or something.
Oh, it just was brilliant.
Coming, bearing down, and then he got like two more whack, whack.
Just awesome.
Pulped their heads.
It's awesome. And Gracie's just like, yeah, my dad's coming to help. I'm like, yeah, fucking hell.
See, I want to say too, before you get too far from it, I have a lot more patience with kids being scared and vulnerable than I feel like you do. But maybe once you have your
scared.
Own.
I don't scared. Yeah, maybe.
Like Sam, he's like, fuck that kid.
I'm like, Jesus, Sam. And I think with Gracie, it's not the scared, because I think you can see that Judith and RJ are scared as well.
Yeah.
I think it's just no one's taught her any basic shit,
like
which
what?
I find really hard to
like
believe.
Like, what should she
like
know
how
that
to
she
use
doesn't
a weapon?
Know?
How to use a weapon?
Does she have
herself?
A weapon?
Well, no one's given her one. They should have. Like, see Judith is like trying to teach her, like, is it 2 or 3 episodes ago? We see that she's like, oh, Judith, I wish I could be like you. I'm just a little bit like, would you not be more on it than this? I don't, maybe I'm being a harsh critic of parenting.
I'm not saying, I don't know. I think you have something there. I could see they're so little, like, and they're in this walled up town, but I guess you're probably right, Lucy. You're probably
but I
right.
think, well, I don't know, because I'm also second guessing myself a bit, because there's another argument where like Aaron wants to protect his kids so much that he doesn't want to admit
innocence.
Yeah, exactly, because that was a big thing,
but that
with,
could be a bad move though.
Well, I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, she just got herself stuck in a freaking basement.
I just also wonder though if that's true. Like, if I was a parent, would I want to just teach my kid to kill? I guess if I thought that's what it would take to keep him alive, then
well,
I
it's been
it.
A recurring thing. Like, Lori didn't want Carl to have a gun.
Right.
And then
but
at the prison,
he got one.
And then he got one. And then at the prison, Carol was secretly teaching the kids how to protect themselves because of what had happened to Sophia. So I feel like we've never had a kind of satisfactory solution to parenting in the zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like it's noticeable how big of a gap there is there. And I feel like you would want your kid to at least have basic you know, stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You're right. Maybe. I think you're totally right. Yeah. And Carol was teaching. Yeah. Did you say that? All the kids at the prison. So.
Yeah. Story time with Carol.
Yeah. So they should know at least how to stab a zombie in the head.
Yeah. I feel like I can. Oh, my God. I would be like worse than Gracie in that situation because I'm claustrophobic and I don't like water and I don't like zombies. So I would be absolutely as scared as she is. But I would hope that my parent or guardian would have maybe taught me how to do a little bit of self-defense. Like, if Eugene can learn it, a kid can, hopefully. But Aaron as a sloth kind of hanging from the pipe was kind of a fine balance between hilarious and quite tense. There was one shot that really made me laugh where they basically had the camera like up his asshole to like look at his face. I was like, who shot that? That's a very intense angle.
Very vulnerable.
And I have to say, big up Lydia for actually saving him, because he was quite a dick to Lydia back in season 9 or 10 where she got beaten up. Like, he did not intervene when people were horrible to her.
Just kind of looked over and like, eh.
Yeah.
But I mean, then they follow that up with him torturing that one Whisper. So you really saw that he has this deep-seated bias towards Whispers. And I can't totally blame him. But yeah, when she said thanks and he said, he said, you would have done the same for me. And there was a little pause there. And then he's like, I would. But I'm like, I'm not so sure he would have. Maybe he doesn't know for sure if he would. But maybe now things might change a little bit now that they had this thing.
He's like, yes, Lydia, I would always have saved you. Let's move on to our next conversation. So that whole set piece, I really liked it. I would love to know a bit more about how they filmed it. In fact, I think they did a bit on Episode Insider about how the water was warm and stuff and nobody was uncomfortable. But yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. I've seen a bit of criticism that we didn't see the kind of ins and outs of how they got the rope in and Aaron got out. But I'm also like, eh, I'll allow it.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I just thought, you know, he somehow got up to that pipe, but fine, he scrambled up some shelf or something. And then Lydia, didn't she just pull him out of the window?
There was a rope, but I don't understand how it was attached to either side. So, yeah, no. It probably would have been a 10-minute, like, YouTube tutorial on how to tie a knot. So I don't really care.
I don't care that much. I mean, the point is that she helped him get out.
Yeah, if it was fear, I'd be like, and this is why this show is terrible. So they didn't even show us this. Whereas this, I'm like, yeah, it's fine. The rest of it was good.
No, I mean, so I'll go with my point about action and tension, because I think the action on The Walking Dead is often great, but often doesn't always feel like it worked maybe as effectively as they hoped it would, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of like, the zombies are so slow and yet the people are trapped and you're like, just run around them or stuff like that.
Yeah. But tire them out.
Yeah. But in this episode, it was one of the most action packed episodes we've ever gotten, and on several different fronts. And I thought it all worked really well. I think the thing with Aaron and the pipe actually might have been one of the least effective, but it was still great.
Yeah.
And I want to go over some of the other parts of that. Like, you know, there was the cliffhanger with these Watcha rockets. Daryl, Maggie, and Negan were out there, and we see one of those hit a Zed, and then it blows up. I just love that.
It was amazing. So hang on, it hit a Reaper? Was it not a live dude?
One hit a Zed, and it blew up, and then
It was amazing.
Daryl and Maggie and Negan. I mean, basically, you know, you're wondering how are you going to get out of the, how are you going to get out of the way? Well, they just kind of get out of the way. They just move over to the side. But yeah, then Maggie's fighting this Reaper. It's like in a shipping container or something. And she pushed him out there and then he got hit too. So
it was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So good. Loved it.
And then back in Alexandria, you see Rosita and Diane at the top of the stairs stabbing at this horde of Zeds, and that was really tense and great.
Oh, that was amazing. I had just a note that the women of Alexandria are kicking ass.
Yeah.
Like, it was so good.
I was almost afraid for Diane there because she was getting some screen time, and I'm like, she's dead, she's gonna die.
Every time we see Diane, I'm like, we are blessed that you are here. I'm so amazed that you're still alive. Like, so amazed. Yeah. I'm really glad she's there.
I thought she was gonna die. And then they switch over to Judith and Grace in the basement with the Zeds pushing through the door that they tried to board up. And then the windmill's on fire and it's about to fall over and break the wall. And I'm just like, man, I'm glad I don't have a heart condition. It's not quite that bad, but I mean, it was good tension. It reminded me of Return of the Jedi when there's like the stuff going on in the forest moon of Endor, and then the Emperor and Luke are fighting, and then there's all the spaceships in space trying to get through the shield generator, and just all stuff going on at once. Then back with the Reapers, Gabriel runs across and there's a Reaper sniper about to shoot him, and then Daryl comes in and tackles the guy, and then they have that knife fight inside the classroom. That was great.
Oh, the classroom knife fight was intense.
Yeah.
Like, so intense.
Really good. And then Daryl stabs him in the stomach and chokes him out. And then you see this Zed at the door, and then its head explodes. And you hear Reapers outside. Austin, are you in there? And then it's Leah and this other guy. And by the way, she seemed really devastated to see Austin dead. But I have no sympathy for her anymore.
Yeah, none.
They've gone around killing innocent people. This is what you get.
Nope. Yeah, that's what happens, Leah. Yeah. That's what happens. And you can't go back on a deal. Like, you can't. Anyway, yeah, she annoyed me this episode.
So then it's back to Judith and Gracie. They're like stabbing at Zeds, but and getting their legs grabbed at. And Judith loses her sword, and then they start kicking at them. And then Aaron shows up, and he comes down with the hammer, his mace hand or whatever, Morningstar hand. And then he's underwater and he crushes another one's head, and the blood just like plumes out.
Oh, so beautifully gross.
And then he's left alone in there, and then the Zeds are like rising up slowly from the water. That was really cool.
Yes.
And then we see Gabriel, the whole scene with that other religious Reaper, which I won't go over because that's another point, but that was really tense too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Maggie and Elijah and Negan meet up with Carver in this hallway. And that was a badass fight, because you think, oh, it's three against one, but then he's such a skilled fighter that he's really hobbling them.
He is arrogant as well, which added this whole other edge to it, where he's like, come at me, bro. And right. I got tired of searching for you. I was like, he's so good at being a douche.
I mean, he's cocky because he has the skill to back it up, but not quite. Because then Elijah distracts him, I think, by swiping at his leg, and then Negan threw the, like, what was it, sand or ashes or something in his face?
Yeah, I think it's like sand from inside the bell. I don't know.
But then he goes, boing! Well, ding, ding. Nice Arnold Schwarzenegger style one-liner in there.
Yep.
And then, the whole thing with Aaron, which we already talked about. But just all of that, plus, I mean, I also another point of mine is the standoff between Maggie and her people and the Reapers. It was so tense and action-packed, and they all were good. So I was thrilled with this episode, literally.
No, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I really noticed, I don't know who the fight coordinator on The Walking Dead is, but they absolutely killed it this episode. Like, especially Lauren Cohen. I feel like she's always been strong fight-wise, but this episode, she was, like, taking a fair kicking and giving a fair kicking as well. Like, the chase with her and Carver, I loved the way they edited it so that it started mid-chase, so you didn't know what had happened in the intervening time. So that reveal that it was kind of a trap, but also the trap was kind of awful because our people are exhausted and undernourished. And
they're not trained mercenaries and ex-soldiers.
Yeah, and they're not mega douchebags. Well, I mean, Negan kind of is, but...
That's what it took to beat him, douchebag on douchebag.
Douchebag with some D-on-D action. it was just... Oh, the gruesomeness of this episode and the visceral violence was just amazing. Like, the zombie head smash. There was also a face peel zombie.
Yeah, coming through the doorway.
Oh, wonderful. loved it. Loved every second.
And given that this all was filmed during COVID, makes it even more impressive.
So impressive. Like, everyone was just giving it their absolute everything, I think. And that, the classroom knife fight was really, really good. Mm-hmm. I was a bit like, Daryl's gonna kick someone else's ass, but I found myself quite, it was just a much more kind of closely fought kind of visceral fist fight than usual. It was really tense. Yeah,
and the fact that it was in a school classroom made it more interesting to me.
I did have a note. Did Herschel go to school here? It's just like, it looks like a nice classroom.
It was directed by John Amiel, who's an English director. I don't know a lot of the stuff he's worked on, but I'm sure, yeah, they had special fight coordinators and everything too.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was just really, really excellent. I just think Lauren Cohen has come back. I figure the show she did when she left The Walking Dead was very action-based, so I'm wondering if she just really doubled down on a lot of fighting choreography, because she's really, really smashing it.
I wouldn't be surprised, if she's learned a thing or two from that. Yeah. Cool.
Amazing.
All right. What do you got next?
Okay, I'll name a thing I didn't like. one that I enjoyed but would have been very frustrated were it in the show, and one thing I really, really didn't like. So I love the pace that we're going at, and I love that the Commonwealth have actually arrived now. Mm-hmm. I love the whole Jerry seeing them, this whole... it felt like something out of the Old West, like a traveling show or something comes to town with Lance Hornsby in his like fancy gentleman's suit, and
like
Eugene
he's gonna
looking
pull out some ointment or
snake
something.
Oil, yeah. Like, this snake oil will cure all your woes. So that was great. I was like, this is excellent, this has come now. I would say it did render the whole expedition to Meridian pointless, and quite a lot of people have died now.
Immediately. Like, they brought back this cart of food, and then here comes the Commonwealth, the big old canisters of supplies. It's like the whole, death that just happened. I mean, at least they got rid of the Reapers, but seriously, Alden.
Oh my God. Maggie, Elijah, Daryl, Gabriel, and Dog come back. With the exception of Dog, they all look like absolute shit. Like, they've been totally harrowed by what they've seen. So many people have died. And then it's like, 2 seconds after they get here, they're like, oh, we see your crappy food. The Commonwealth have brought their amazing food. So thanks for the apples.
Right. It's like, all of a sudden, like, I don't know, somebody comes up with big giant bags of McDonald's or something.
Yeah! Oh, you brought carrot sticks. Oh, Lance brought McDonald's for everyone. And it was even better because it was like a surprise. Amazing. Eugene's like, they got McDonald's. Maggie's like, I've literally sacrificed part of my soul. Daryl's like, my girlfriend might be dead.
You were Jerry, and would you go for the carrots and the celery and potatoes or the Big Mac?
I mean, I think Jerry would do whatever Ezekiel did, but I think out of politeness, he'd probably take the carrot, but I think he would also go and get a Big Mac, to be honest. And I know I would have no loyalty, because let's face it, the carrot will keep a little bit longer. The Big Mac's going to get cold.
I don't know about that. They last years. Yeah,
they last... I mean, it is entirely plausible that there is a McDonald's in the Commonwealth, let's face it. But the bit I hated was just that final moment of like 6 months later, and you see like Elijah and Maggie, and it's like, surprise, they're on opposite sides. And I'm just like, we didn't really need that. Like, it's fine. Yeah. Elijah and Maggie on Hilltop's walls, and then Daryl in the crowd. And I'm just like, yeah, okay. Like, fine. I want to see how we get there. But I just felt a bit like, it was strong enough without that, but cool. We'll see how we get there.
Yeah, I get you. I mean, my first thought on that was, okay, well, let's see. What did they say to each other? It doesn't have to be this way. And then Daryl, who's dressed up as a Commonwealth soldier, takes off his helmet and says, yeah, it does. And it's like, okay, they're at odds, but I doubt they're so at odds that there would be serious danger for either one. So it seems... Yeah. Like, a little flat to me, but
I could see it being a bait and switch where they're like, hey,
right? Yeah, right, totally. It's a joke or something, but on second watch, I found a little more interest in that because Daryl, the whole time, is saying, he's like, when Maggie starts shooting the Reapers, he's like, no, and I thought, well, that's just because his girlfriend's. Mm-hmm. In there, but also he had said to Leah, maybe it was earlier. Anyway, you survived all this for what? To keep fighting and killing each other? You know, it doesn't have to be this way. So I just think that the way they're playing Daryl right now is he's tired of all this killing and he's looking for civility. And I think what Maggie did, I mean, he saw her go and brutally gun down a bunch of people. I think that disillusioned him on her. that's poor grammar, but you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so, no, absolutely.
So I think that does sort of put them at odds, like puts him more in a position where he might want to be in a more civilized society and not be so much on Maggie's side after having seen her do that. So I think that's kind of what they were getting at. I don't know.
And he did, I mean, to be fair to Daryl, he did, with the exception of the Oceanside thing, he's really lived by Rick's philosophy since then. Like, he does believe in it, you know, in the sense of, like, redeeming, not necessarily so redeeming people, but yeah, maybe there is going to be more of a conflict between those two than I'm giving them credit for.
I still, even though I just said what I said, I can't see them not, I mean, they still love each other, right? That's what I would think.
Yeah, that's the thing. And they were so, they had such a, I always remember the story beats for Daryl and Maggie after Glenn's death. You know, there was a lot there because Daryl felt so responsible and Maggie kind of, you know, forgave him in that sort of, my daddy thought you were, you know, like that kind of thing. You know, she never really held that against him. And I just, there's so much.
They had that moment where he was sorry and she's like, no.
Yeah, there's so much there that I just think, like, would you really? But then so much time has passed, I suppose, that it's hard to know.
I mean, yeah, it really is. There is a significant philosophical difference between them now, and it's about life or death. So it's definitely put a, you know, something in between them for sure. And just like he's got something in between him and Carol, too, even though, you know, he'd probably still die for either one of these women. I would think.
Yeah, I think so. And I think with him and Carol as well, they've had those years in between as well, like whereas Maggie was kind of out of it for a while in the middle there. So it's,
One thing I liked about, well, not the time jump. Should I talk about the time jump first? Yeah. So I wonder if we're going to go back and see how we got here or if we're just going to go on from this point.
Going by...
You want to
we don't talk about next week.
Yeah, we can't talk about next week.
So you kind of
know, so that's all right. Let's not go there. But I don't know. So I would guess that we will. Oh God, I really don't know, but I know Angela Kang likes the time jump. You know, there have been a few since she came on as showrunner, and it's a good way to quickly freshen things up, like advance things to a place where the situation has changed quite a bit instead of having to get there slowly beat by beat. So that would suggest that they will just move on from here. But that said, it would be interesting to posit this sort of thing, not as good as like the Antler Queen in Yellow Jackets, but kind of that same idea, like, oh my God, what happened here? You know, how did we get to this point? So I could see it going either way, I guess.
Daryl is the Antler Queen.
But as far as like the Commonwealth showing up, I like that moment because it's immediately after and they're right up. Daryl's right up there with his crossbow and the other Alexandrians and the Commonwealth have their guns pointed at them. It's like, dude, they just can't catch a break. But then you see Eugene shuffling in. Oh, wait, we're friends here.
Yeah,
it was a great moment. And then you see they skip right to Lance Hornsby giving his speech. And he basically offers, you know, hey, we'll come and give you supplies and labor to fix up your place. But I have another opportunity, which presumably is you can come live with us. We don't know for sure. But it was neat to see Kelly like translating for Connie.
Oh, yeah. It was nice to have the two of them back together.
Yeah, yeah.
And just to see him pitched in front of this group of absolute hot messes of human beings who are just like, we just got our apples. Why are we listening to this dude? But yeah, it was just such a fun contrast. Yeah, I loved that bringing, because it was one thing bringing our people into the Commonwealth. It was so great having that contrast of having him brought there. It reminded me of when Georgie turned up in season 7 or 8, but more stark in many ways because it is like the place is literally and smoldering around them.
Yeah, I mean, like when everybody got back to Alexandria, they're just so worked over and mostly dead. I mean, I think more people died than came back for sure, right? I don't know for sure, but
it was
at least
a huge
half.
Group that left.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, right at the start of the last bit of this season, you know, Gage and that older dude, You know, there was loads of people who just didn't, and most of Maggie's folks, I'd forgotten that some of them had stayed at Alexandria when they were like welcoming Elijah back. I was
so
like,
she still has some people left.
I think there's a couple,
but
yeah.
I'd say at least half, if not more, died. And then that whole storm and everything happened, and you see dead bodies everywhere. I think hopefully
they're burning
mostly
them,
zombies,
right?
But
yeah.
So they're all just. They've had a rough week, and but it was nice to see the reunions, as it always is on Walking Dead. And when people come back together, Gabriel strokes Rosita's hair, and she's like, "Is that all food?" And he goes, "We made a promise, and we kept it." Yes, you did. That was just a nice little moment.
Brilliant, and, so good.
But the best for me was Daryl hugging Connie. He's like, "No way," because he didn't know she
was
alive.
Like, it's your good girlfriend.
Right. And they're signing to each other, happy to see you. And Carol was looking over, I think kind of sadly, because Daryl wasn't saying hi to her. That's what I got from it. Bit of a high school moment there.
Maybe a little. And I think there's something about the way Daryl is with Connie that he's goofy, which I quite like. Because it's nice to see him not be like... super serious, like Daryl Dixon. I also like moment for Lydia, who's pretty bummed out that Negan's not coming back. That was sad.
Yeah, she looked kind of floored.
Yeah, I wonder if she'll try and go after him.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. Mm. And then, and she, I mean, they've had their issues, but I think they have a bond for sure. And I also liked Aaron checking in with Gabriel, just like, "You all right, man?" And
oh, those guys, those guys. Oh, so good. And now it's all gone to who knows where because the food arrived. So we'll see. Right. The Commonwealth are here and they brought Big Macs.
And it really did feel like they, I don't know how it actually worked, but I've read and heard that they did not know that it was going to be the last season when they were writing the first episodes in the whole Reaper storyline. But it feels like now they do know. Because they're just like, clear off the decks, let's get to the end game.
My one regret of this season, I think, will probably be that they wasted 8 episodes on the Reapers.
Yeah.
But here we are.
But you know what? I'm going to go on to a bigger point. Is that cool?
Do it.
Because it is about the Reapers, and I think I have a better indication of why that all happened. So it's Maggie. Maggie killed the Reapers. That was probably the most striking thing in the episode for me. I mean, right from the start, she's saying, like, it's her and Negan and who else was with them? Gabriel? Or I forget. But
when they were in the face-off bit?
No, yeah. Like, who was fighting? It was, Elijah. Negan and Maggie and Elijah, I think. They were like, let's wait. She's like, let's wait until dawn and then hunt them down. But Negan just wants to get out of there, grab food and get out. And she's like, no, I'm not going to leave Alden and Gabriel vulnerable. I'm not going to risk them following back home. So her intentions are to kill them from the start. Mm-hmm. But then they fight Carver in the hall and decide not to kill him. And Elijah's not happy at all because he killed her sister. And and not to mention all the Reapers killed all of their friends. But then the whole conversation at the end where they bring out Carver, Daryl has a knife to his throat and Leah's with two other Reapers and they make that deal, just drop your weapons and we let you leave. But then she has a sniper, Jensen, who fires this warning shot and she goes, everybody out. And then Negan, Elijah and Maggie come out into the open. At first I was like, why would you follow her? But I guess they just don't want Daryl to get shot. So they're doing what she says. Mm-hmm. And then,
well, they also don't know how many other people, like they know there's one person with a gun. There could be more.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And then she tells Daryl to let, Leah tells Daryl to let Carver go. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. And then she goes, Jensen, the woman. And it's like, oh, shit, that means killer.
I know.
So Daryl's like, okay, fine. And then Elijah's like, fuck this. He's like, you know, shambling over to limping towards them to kill Leah. And they're like, no, dude, no. And then he collapses and then Carver's about to kick him. But then someone shoots his leg and it's Gabriel. Da, 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 da. Leah's like, Jensen, what the hell, Jensen? Gabriel. He's like, nope, no Jensen here. That was a great moment. But I guess I won't go beat by beat through all of it. But anyway, the whole thing about, you know, well, she tells them, is the deal still on? Leah's like, and
hell no.
No.
Sorry.
But then she says, and what I was thinking too, hey, if your friend has his rifle, but I bet we take a couple of you down before he takes us. You know, why don't we just go our separate ways? And Maggie,
she's not wrong.
Maggie, yeah, that's what I was thinking too. And Maggie said, asked Negan, you agree? And he goes, you know what I think. And I kind of wonder if she didn't really care what he thought, but she's just trying to make it look legit.
Yeah.
You know, so Leah will.
Or maybe she was just hoping for a moment that he would do what she wants him to do and be a murderous bastard, you know? Like, and he's kind of, I mean, I guess that's kind of for him. He's like, nah, I'm not going to tell you what you want.
It's just a little out of character for her to, I just don't want to see her have any respect for him. I guess that's what it is. It's me, but
well, there's a point at the, no, well, I thought it was because I was going to ask you about this because I feel like there was a point at the start of the episode where, like, Negan, it's established Negan doesn't get a vote. It's like, well, I don't get a vote.
Yeah.
You know, and so then she asks him there. And I think there's a bit of him that's like, well, fuck you. Like, you said I didn't have a vote. I'm not going to tell you what you want. It felt to me at that moment that Negan's checked out. Like, he knows at that point, like, he can see the writing on the wall.
Well, he's been saying, well, let's just get out of here. I just want to go. Yeah. But then...
I'm so that person. I'm like, can we just leave? I just want to go. Right. Can we just leave? I hear there's McDonald's. Like, can we go?
But Leah says, not without Carver, who's laying on the ground there. And Maggie says, no. Carver. And I wonder if she's just making it feel legit. Like, I don't want this to go too easy because then they'll know that it's a trick. But, or maybe it wasn't a trick because then, well, as soon as they start dropping their weapons, I thought, you guys are all dead. That's just what I just thought that. Like, she's going to kill you all. But then she checks with Elijah. Kneels down and goes, Elijah, and he goes, for Josephine, which I think is his sister, for all of them. And so maybe she hadn't made up her mind yet until he said that. I don't know. Either way, it was really striking to watch her gun them down one by one. And then she was out of bullets, so she killed Carver with Elijah's weapon. It was chilling, but honestly, I was a big yes to it. I gotta admit.
Yeah. I was with her.
Yeah.
No, I thought Maggie did the right thing. I really did. I think, yeah, I'm with her on that decision. Mm-hmm. She was right about not wanting to be followed home.
Yep.
She was right. And actually, this was something that came up in, one of the reviews I read today. I do have original thoughts. I promise I don't get them all from reviews. But somebody pointed out that the scene with Maggie and Negan at the fireside a few episodes ago, where I think for a moment you think Negan might say he regrets killing Glenn, and he actually says, no, I regret not killing all of you, which is kind of harsh but true. And I wonder if that maybe stuck with Maggie a little bit here of we have to kill them all because
I mean
Negan, you know,
whether it was on Maggie's mind, I think it was a deliberate choice for the show. That's actually my point. I think the point of the Reapers was more about what story are we going to tell with Maggie and Negan. The story we're going to tell is to get Maggie to a place where she does something that you might argue is even worse than what Negan did to Glenn and Abraham. Mm. And I still would not argue that because the Reapers are just killing machines. And they want
and to Carver kill. Was so antagonistic. Like, even when it was like, you killed my sister, he's like, oh, what was her name? I don't care.
If you're going to debate whether to kill someone like Randall, who I always go back to and will to the end of this podcast, where he, you know, was maybe a threat, but they weren't sure. The Reapers are nuts. They're lethal. They've killed about all of Maggie's people for no reason, innocent people, and they've shown no signs of remorse and only said that they want to finish them off. So, I mean, maybe they could be rehabilitated under some perfect conditions or something, but this is the zombie apocalypse. So I just thought, get rid of them. And it totally makes sense. Now, we also have both said we thought it was really bad what Rick's people did going into the Savior Outpost, killing them all in their sleep. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that I still don't like that at all. And I understand that's what Negan's saying. Like, I should have killed you guys all after that. But what makes that different for me is that Negan started it by stealing and killing innocent people and going around and terrorizing these communities and dominating. And so that's what makes it different for me for what Maggie's doing here versus what Negan did to, I mean, it's still, you know, there's blame on both sides for sure, but this is a little more cut and dried to me. Like, yes, you got to get rid of these guys or they're going to kill you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah. They just weren't ever going to escape from them. Like, there was no, how could they rest easy if they didn't finish them off entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you're just asking to be killed if you don't finish them off based on what they've done so far. So for all kinds of reasons, I'm glad they're dead. I mean, to get past the story, but it was a cool ending. Like, it was almost worth it to me. Such a great episode.
It was such a great episode. And do you think that Leah and Negan are going to bump into one another?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about that. I mean, she is the only one who made it out alive, right? And I think she's the only Reaper left.
Yeah, I don't think this is the end for either of them, but
maybe they'll get together and just be awful together.
I mean, that'd be fine. Dog chose Daryl in the end, so, you know, it's all fine.
You think that's, yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but that's, they are both kind of out there.
Yeah, I just wondered if they're going to turn up at some point in some format. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe it'll be one or the other, but yeah.
I mean, I would assume that they both turn up again, maybe not together, but maybe.
I think I'd hope so. Well, for Negan, I would hope so because I feel like the story needs it. With Leah, I could live without it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Next one.
Oh, just a shout out for the fact that my nephew is called Jensen. So I was like, oh, Jensen. Other people are called Jensen. That's cool. All right. For me, I guess elephant in the room. I was, for the record, quite sad that Alden died. I did kind of want him to be alive when Maggie was opening the door to that church. Mm-hmm. It was very tense and sad. I thought Caelan McAuliffe was a very tragic pathos Zed. And I really felt for Maggie. I was trying to figure out why that death of all of them upset her the most. And I think it's a couple of things. I think she was exhausted and completely broken by this point. But I think it's also about the Maggie she used to be and those moments where, like, Alden pledged his loyalty to her back at Hilltop right after everything had kicked off. And yeah, I think she was just really heartbroken by it. And I thought it was very, very sad.
Yeah. I mean, it's a similar note to Sophia being in the barn, you know, except at this point in the show, it's not really all that shocking. I mean, I didn't know for sure he'd be gone, but I would have been more shocked if he wasn't dead.
Yeah, and I was reading, I don't know if it's in the news or not, but I think there were clues there that more had gone on than we realized. Like, his legs had been broken and he'd had his throat cut. I was like,
yeah. I read that. It is in the news, but I'll read it now. But well, let me read what you're talking about first. So in an interview with Insider, Callan McAuliffe, who played Alden, they asked him, the last time we saw Alden, he was in pretty bad shape, limping with some deep cuts to the gut. But it turns out he didn't die from those wounds. What you may not have realized while watching Sunday's episode is that it's meant to be implied that some of the Reapers found Alden and he had a standoff with them, something which is not seen on screen. And he says, I got pretty grievously wounded. I like to think that by some miracle, Alden mustered a final burst of energy and managed to, despite some 20 to 30 debilitating and like mortal belly stab wounds, that he managed to take a full strength Reaper out with him. On the day of filming, we had a throat slit prosthetic and both of my legs are broken, which is why I'm crawling. Though I was either dead or near enough to dead when the Reapers stumbled upon me in the church, they saw fit to break both my legs and cut my throat because they decided I hadn't been harmed enough. I don't know if that's clear or not. And I guess that's why they're, you know, the church door is closed, but there's another zombie in there that Maggie kills. That's the Reaper, I guess, that he fought. So that was not at all clear to me watching it the first time. And even when I read this little interview bit and watched it again, I mean, yes, he's crawling, but I didn't notice anything about his throat. It's so dark.
It was a very dark shoot, that bit. So yeah, I was like glad of the backstory, but I was like, oh yeah, it didn't super come through.
And it sounds like he's kind of disappointed that it wasn't clear too, because he wants to have, you know, have it be known that Alden went out a hero. But yeah. I should say, I've been kind of giggling through this, but yeah, I'm sad too. I like that character. I think he's a really good, it was really interesting that he was an ex-savior, but turned out to be a good guy. Cause I like when you show that these groups have all kinds of different people in them, and and he was a really interesting character to me.
I have a written statement from Peter on Alden's death. Rumors of my involvement in Alden's death and my proximity to that church are greatly exaggerated. I will not be answering questions at this difficult time, nor am I being smug, even though that's what Alden would have wanted. Suffice to say, I think that Zombie Alden probably retained a memory of some women's shelter or other that he once volunteered at and has carried that smugness into the afterlife.
That's so touching and nice.
It was so touching. Very, very heartfelt.
Not at all smug.
Yeah. No, not smug at all. Not smug or smart arse, just, you know, very genuine.
Okay, anything else? I think I'm out of my main points.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, wait,
too,
Gabriel. We kinda,
no, Gabriel. Yeah.
What do you, have anything on him?
Oh, no, you go for it, because I know okay. It's one of yours, so.
Well, he continues to wrestle with this faith, and he's confronts this Reaper who's praying for the other Reapers, and he says, these are monsters who slaughter entire towns without provocation, massacre children, and you pray for them. And I'm like, amen, brother. Mm-hmm. They're the worst. And then he's saying, my role is not to question. I listen and serve, and true faith requires doubt, and I have mine. Violence is not the path I'd take, but blood has been spilt in God's name for centuries. His will is unknown to us. All I can do is trust in him. I mean, that's such, all just such, in my opinion, bullshit rationalization. And like, dude, you're a killer right now, and you're saying I wouldn't choose violence, but I can't question anything. I mean, look, this is a really this subject is like the thing that you don't talk about when you go out on dates, religion or politics. And I definitely don't want to offend anyone. I know religion is important to people. Personally, I'm agnostic, which means I just don't know what's out there. And I also welcome any comments about what I'm about to say. I'm open to learning and discussing. But all that said, I think this can be a problem with faith. Personally, I think faith means accepting something without any evidence, you know, accepting the existence of God and that he's there for you and everything. And when a person decides to let themselves accept things without evidence, and they've gotten used to that idea, then it seems to me that it can be easier to be talked into things that there's no evidence for, or, you know, steered in certain directions, especially if there's this dominant religious leader telling them, you know, if you don't understand it, just have faith. And maybe that's the key, like the people who are super religious, but they're more, they have their own personal interpretations of the scripture and things like that are better off. But I just see so much people getting steered wrong. And I feel like, yeah, well, when you're just taught to don't even look for reasons for things, just accept it, then it's easier to get steered into something like this. I mean, it's just a fictitious TV show. So, you know, take it all with a grain of salt.
You know, it's one of the more interesting theological debates I've ever seen, because, you know, zombies and death and high stakes. And
yeah.
I thought, I was really struck by this, the sentence, true faith requires doubt, because I'm like, oh, I'm a person who's like riddled with doubt in like every single thing I do, and that in my head I'm like, well, if I'm doubting my decision, then it was definitely the wrong decision. But then I'm like, oh, maybe having faith in something involves having to get over that doubt, or to live with that doubt, or to be like, okay, yes, but also you've gone this way, or you've decided this thing. So that really impacted me. But I did find this scene I found the priest in a way quite unrealistic in that sense, but I liked some of the things that it brought up in terms of like, who hears God, you know? And I agree with a lot of what you're saying there about how it can be used to manipulate people, and how the logic is very flawed in many ways.
That's basically what I'm saying, that it, like, I don't want to just say, oh, all religion is bad. I don't want to say that, but it can be used to mislead people for sure.
I think this idea of like God as objective versus subjective, because I think that's where it becomes difficult. God, this got really deep for a Walking Dead cast, but here we are.
This is what is
theology
it's
hour.
About. Yeah.
I think so. Here's what I'll say. I've written in my notes, who can hear God? Is God subjective? Because I think one of the things that you see with Gabriel that's coming across really strongly, and it's much more compelling than I thought, is this idea that he stopped being able to hear God. And I think there's almost a fear for him at the idea that this guy, who he sees as crackpot and on the wrong side, can hear God and is very comfortable with that and very assured with it. So when he's saying to Gabriel, like that moment where he kind of shows him compassion and is like, you know, we can do this together, I can renew your faith. Like, I do think he's being genuine at that point. And Gabriel just says, nah, he doesn't believe that, and kills him. That's a big swerve. That plus what we saw with Robert Patrick's character in the Russian Roulette episode. Gabriel is just so changed, so utterly changed from the priest that he once was. It's very, very jarring.
he also went in and killed Dante.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he's pretty ruthless now. And he said, what the guy said was, no matter what any of us have done, no one is above saving. And he said, I don't believe that. And I think, you know, in one sense, that's pretty rich coming from a guy who left his whole flock out, locked outside the church to die. But maybe he just has his line somewhere and somehow he's seen that he's on one side and this guy's on the other. I don't know.
His line is the door of the church because it can close. He can close you out.
But the whole thing about, you know, faith requires doubt. I was trying to really figure that out because there's a conversation later with Gabriel telling Daryl the same thing. Faith requires doubt. And I think it's... the way they're talking about it is it's just because they're in the zombie apocalypse. There's all these horrors happening and there, it will naturally make you wonder, okay, wait, how could a God allow all this? How could there be a God if all this is happening? So you say, oh, you're doubting it. Well, faith requires doubt to just make you feel better about having faith. But I really don't think faith necessarily requires doubt. What if you're just like super faithful and you have no doubt? That should be fine too, right? I think there are a lot of people who have that faith and don't doubt it, and you wouldn't say to them, oh, it's not real faith because you don't have any doubt. I think it's more just a way to make people feel better if they are having doubts, but I could be reading that wrong. Yeah. So again, I welcome any conversation about any of this. Please, just let me know if you want to talk about it.
It's a really interesting thought, I think, the role of doubt. Yeah, I think, I don't know, it's something that I'm living a lot in my life at the moment is about, like, the doubt of, like, have you made the right decision? Are you in the place where you should be? And kind of accepting that, like, a decision isn't always... I used to think for a very long time in my life that there was a right and a wrong. Like, in every decision, there was the right one or the wrong one. But lately, I'm starting to think, well, it's more about the life lived and the life not lived. Like, it's not as easy as... I'm not talking about like murdering people and eating them or something like that. I'm talking more about like, I don't know, do you take this job or do you go to this place? Do you start a family? Do you not start a family? Like, these are the kind of things where you start to think like, well, is one the fundamentally right decision and I'm wrong to do it or not to do it? And I think that kind of doubt is the one that I think is quite interesting because it does force you to kind of think about the decisions you make. I don't know, it's interesting. Sometimes I envy very religious people because they have a guidebook for this stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like, I don't know, right. I'll just throw caution to the wind and see what happens. I'll just move to this place and see what goes on. Like, yeah.
And it is interesting how life sometimes can be like, you just make this decision that could be a flip of a coin. Should I go to school here in this town or this town? Or take this job, or, you know, break up with this guy or girl or not. And you go, I'm not sure. I guess I'll try this. And then it impacts the whole rest of your life in a way where it would have been completely different if you'd done the other thing.
Yeah. You know? I remember going to see a careers counselor about a year and a half ago when we were still in Canada. Cause I was like, oh, I think I might want to leave the kind of work that I'm doing at the moment. And so I went to see this careers counselor who was awesome. If you ever are in doubt about what to do with your life, try and see a careers counselor because it will actually be very, very useful, I found. But I was terrified that I was going to go and they were going to tell me like, oh, you really shouldn't have done your PhD or you really should have like called it a day at this point. But instead they were like, oh, so we did this survey of like who you answered most like, because that gives us a good sense of like what you would be good at. And they're like, and your best match was translator. And I was like, oh, thank God. That means I made my bad decisions when I was 17 and decided not to do languages at uni. And that's so long ago, I don't even give a fuck. So I was just like so liberated by that. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I was just terrified that someone's going to be like, yeah, if you'd done something different last week, you know, your life would be a lot better. So yeah, doubt. Being riddled with doubt, I completely understand it. Mm-hmm. Being kind of attached to the idea of hearing the voice of God is not something I have experience of, but I'm appreciating the way that they're portraying that with Gabriel because I think it does worry him, despite the fact that he's a a very strong and very decisive character now. To lose that from your life, to lose that compass, must be very harrowing. Mm-hmm. And you see that, I think, in some of these moments where he's interacting with people who are shocked to hear that or have different experiences.
I mean, he's definitely become a stronger character, but at the same time that his story is about him having doubt about his connection with God, which has been the biggest part of his life, you know, going back who knows how long when. So it's interesting to watch. It is. And I feel it's risky for me to talk about my actual views and maybe piss people off who are going to go give us 1-star reviews. But it's more important to me at this point, or always on this podcast, to just be honest. So anyway, I really hope I didn't piss anybody off, but I hope you appreciate that I'm just being honest.
You're going to cut out all the satanic worship bit, right?
Yeah,
you're
not going to leave that in. Speaking in tongues and all that.
Yeah, yeah, good. Probably okay, I think that would be off-putting for some people. Yeah, I didn't want to pass judgment on your truth, but I do think that would affect the iTunes
reviews.
Okay,
yeah, that's a good point. All right. So, do you have any notes?
We actually touched on all of mine. The campfire scene was interesting with the talk about faith and decisions. Dog's back, which I'm kind of happy about, but I'm a bit pissed off at Dog for sort of, you know, abandoning Daryl a little bit at Meridian. But whatever, they're a dog. It's fine.
I forget what happened. He just ran off?
He just went and hung out with Leah for ages. And then appeared at the end again when everyone was like, we're going now. I'm like, all right.
I think Coco, they probably just didn't know what to do with him in the middle of all that.
There was a load of cutscenes of Dog just like licking his balls and like, yeah, I'm having the best time at Meridian. Coco the baby was looking very cute, and it struck me how happy RJ and Judith were to see Uncle Daryl. They don't really have, I mean, Michonne's gone, Rick's gone, Daryl is their parent now.
Yeah, like, I think Rosita's stepping in there a little bit too, but yeah.
Yeah. Just such a shame. I'm just these poor little abandoned kiddies, man. Ugh. Sort yourselves out, Rashawn. Jeez.
I mean, Rick didn't have a choice.
I don't know. He could try harder if you ask me, but sure.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I still hope that we see Rick by the end of this. And there's a little tidbit in the news that kind of speaks to that, but stay tuned for that. Is that anything else for notes?
Nope. How about you?
Nope. I didn't have any notes this time. We already talked it all out. I think that might be a first.
Dun, dun, dun. So,
we'll take a little break. There is more to come. Stay with us.
When I die in the name of Therese, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go.
Obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens.
The people it kills get up and kill.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
This is a Walking Dead cast news update.
So, Entertainment Weekly talked with Angela Kang. There's quite a bit of stuff this week, by the way, but I just pulled little bits from each one. They asked, when Negan tells Maggie that he's pretty sure she's going to take him out at some point, is he right? Would she take him out? And where is he going? She says, I don't know if he's right. I think that those two have a very complicated relationship. But the thing that he is right about is that Maggie has been in a place where Maggie decides in the moment. Maggie is not a team player right now. She's not at the peak of let's all agree and kumbaya, we're going to go forward. She went rogue and she did that before when she went to his jail cell and literally could have killed him right there. And so for Negan, he's the smart guy and he's just doing the math. And all it takes is one more really bad day. And I could be gone. That guy is a survivor. We sort of flip the scene from the comic where Maggie comes upon Negan and he is at the grave where he buried Lucille. We sort of copied that iconography but flipped it since we already played the moment where Maggie had an opportunity to kill Negan. We just thought that was an interesting situation where he could actually kill her there. He sort of has the drop on her. But I think in their own way, they're making peace with each other by saying we should just not occupy the same spheres. And he's taking his destiny in his hand beyond that.
I love the idea that Negan's like, in the back of his head, he's like, you know I'm annoying, and I know that all I have to do is be annoying one day and she's going to shoot me. He's like, she might promise not to shoot me,
right.
But I know myself, I'm a dickhead, so I'm just going to leave.
I can't help myself, I can't control I just got to go.
Cannot help being a dickhead. Oh, man.
Okay, next. Here's Insider and Norman Reedus. This is I think you're going to like this. They asked, if you weren't a fan of how Daryl and Leah's relationship was handled on The Walking Dead, Norman Reedus agrees with you. Well, they didn't ask that. That's what they said. And then he said, the relationship with Leah was kind of thrown at us during these COVID episodes. That relationship was kind of crammed together in a way that fit with our shooting schedule and storylines for those two people. I've had so many conversations about what kind of boyfriend Daryl would be, and it's gone up and down and back and forth. And you know, I've always said the same thing. I don't think he would jump, not to be crass. I don't think he would jump in the sack that quick. I don't think he has those skills. I felt like that was a little rushed. Maybe if it wasn't in COVID times, we could have explored that in other ways instead of just a timeline written on the bottom of the screen. I would have liked more time there.
Huh. Nice one, Norman.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of felt that way too, right?
Yeah, that mirrors kind of what I felt about it. It was just like, okay, we went there and we went there super, super quickly.
So it didn't really feel earned and believable, right? It didn't.
Yeah, it just seemed to come kind of from, especially when they'd been so cautious with Connie.
Yeah.
And so gentle. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, next. In the upcoming Walking Dead spinoff anthology style series, Tales of the Walking Dead, that's going to be debuting this summer, and we don't know exactly when yet, but there have been some casting announcements. Parker Posey will be in one, Olivia Munn,
ooh,
Terry Crews.
That's just funny. I don't know why that's just funny.
Damn zombies.
Terry loves zombies.
Jesse T. Usher, who was A-Train in The Boys. And there's a bunch more, but I haven't heard of any of them. My favorite, though, is Anthony Edwards, who is in ER. Can't wait to see what he does.
Oh, he was great. Is he Dr. Green?
Yes. Yeah.
He had such a sad little ending.
I know. But he's a good actor, and I can't wait to see him. Filming started in January, so last month, and then the show will premiere sometime this summer. And we'll have coverage of it somehow. I'm actually going to Hawaii for 2 weeks this summer and also Europe for two more weeks.
Hang on, what? You're coming to Europe?
Yeah, I think we're going to be in France and Switzerland.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm excited, but also super stressed just trying to figure out how I'm going to do all the podcasting, but we'll figure something out. Maybe you should think of who you'd like to fill in if you're even going to want to podcast on that show.
And that sounds good. We'll talk about
it. We'll figure it out. But I'm excited about the show. I'm curious. And then, let's see. There's a really good article on NME.com called How Angela Kang Resurrected The Walking Dead, The Best It's Been for Years. I'm just going to read a little bit, but I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to read the whole thing. It kind of talked about her history on the show and how she came to be the showrunner and everything. But when they mentioned that The Walking Dead's almost finished filming, she said, when I think about it, I get misty-eyed because the cast is a very tight-knit group. One of the things that's been hardest about the pandemic is that we haven't gotten to spend as much personal time with each other as we usually do. But I know that when we get together to send the show off, there'll be drinking and there will be hugging and there will be crying. And they said, you have to wonder all these seasons in if Angela Kang ever thought that she would still be here at all. No, she says, I came in on the 7th episode of season 2. We all know how TV works. If you're lucky, you get 2 seasons. If you're really lucky, you get 3 or 4 or 5. But 11, I think a lot of that is about the show's appeal. And they're like, what is the appeal? And she says, what I've heard a lot is that people connect to the idea that even when you're struggling, you can find your family. And you can work on things together, and that you can find connection no matter how horrific the world might be. And as hopeless as things might seem, you can find pockets of hope within that. That's something everyone can connect to. Isn't that great?
I love her. I love her. She's so adorable, right. And I love her.
That's really cool. And it's so fitting for like how things have gone with this podcast and just the Walking Dead family at large, you know, all the fans grouping together and, you know, connecting over the show and everything else. It's cool.
No, I love that.
And last but definitely not least, there are two things I learned. One is that Walking Dead is wrapping up filming. I think they might have just 2 or 3 weeks left, if that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, some guy in Atlanta who owns a sushi restaurant posted a picture on Instagram of him and Norman Reedus and Andrew Lincoln, who had just both eaten there. So Andrew Lincoln's in Atlanta as they're wrapping up filming.
I had a little cry at my desk today when I saw that. I was like, they can't. It has to be, right?
I could totally see him just wanting to come and celebrate the wrap up because he was such a big part of the show with the cast. But I'm hoping they found a way to get Rick back into the story. I don't know. You know, we can't take anything.
Maybe someone called child services and said there's two abandoned children with Daryl Dixon looking after them. Honestly, I was in bits when I saw that. I was like, oh my god, like, yeah, I don't know, I just got really emotional and was like, holy shit, okay, I hope so.
Yeah,
I really hope so. I'm like getting emotional thinking about it now. I'm like, yeah, I really hope so.
That'd be so cool. I mean, I think there's a decent chance, but you can't take it for granted, you know.
Even like a flipping, I don't know, dream sequence, something, right. Something, you know?
The only thing I wouldn't like is, like, I'm a big Evil Dead fan, and I like the character of Ash, and we covered Ash vs. Evil Dead. And then when Fede Alvarez did a reboot in 2013, it was all different characters, and Ash wasn't in it. And then it was great, I thought, but it wasn't the same. And then at the very end, after the credits rolled, they just showed Ash, you know, Bruce Campbell saying groovy, and that was it. I'm like, what? No, just boo. Don't even bother. No. Come on.
No, just have Rick going, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Covered in blood. Oh, it would just be really, yeah, I just have feelings.
All right. That is it for the news. Let's move on to listener moans, groans, and grunts. So there's a lot of comments, which we totally love. I'm glad people are engaged, but in the interest of not going on way too long, we won't read them all, but we do read them all on our own time, and we thank everyone, and hope you guys keep writing in.
First up, we've got Brad Holt. I always want to go, Brad Holt! Like in Arrested Development.
That's why I gave you that one.
Brad Holt. Brad Holt says, holy moly, 11 seasons in, and this show still has me jumping off my couch and yelling at the screen 1 minute, then crying the next. Amazing premiere. Maggie was absolutely right in her actions. She was channeling Rick for sure.
Ashley Edward Wolf says, a strong opening to the second part of season 11. It was scary and action-packed, and Father Gabriel coming in with a couple moments that made me laugh. I'm really liking him lately. I loved his line, there's no Jensen here, as he blew Carver's knee out at the perfect time. I'm disappointed Negan has headed out on his own, but I understand his reasoning. Alden, I knew it was going to happen, but I'm still sad. Maggie, wow, I love that she gunned down the remaining Reapers. Hell yes. One last thing. What the hell is happening in that little six-month flash-forward between Daryl the Stormtrooper and Maggie? I can't wait to find out. So good. Heart, zombie.
Tammy Barr says, this would have been the perfect episode to end on a few months back. I wish they would have tightened up the Reaper storyline to make it one less episode so that we can wrap that and then move on to the next storyline with the Commonwealth. I think it would have made more sense with the fun time jump at the end. I love how they pan to Maggie in that scene and then it jumped time and place. I really enjoyed the Aaron basement rescue scenes. We haven't gotten too much screen time with him and loved his dad response to rescue the kids. I let a tear escape when Daryl saw Connie. It was hilarious when the apples just fell over, but so sweet to see that reunion. Overall, this was a tense, jam-packed episode and can't wait to hear you guys discuss it. Tammy, I hope we did not disappoint.
And I totally agree. I think if they wrapped this up in 8 episodes and left us curious and wanting to see what's next versus just hoping to God that the Reaper storyline didn't last too much longer, that would have been a better break for all of us.
I'm with you.
Anthony Ibersena says, I loved it. It really felt like a horror flick. Really enjoyed seeing Maggie have to make the kind of tough decisions that Negan was forced to make. I hope it's not the last we see of him, but I also don't know what other storylines they can give us with him other than Maggie and him. Maybe he'll confront Rick when Rick definitely comes back. My only concern was the ending transition to a time jump. It kind of threw me off a little. But I honestly think the time jump could be taken out of context, given the fact that our characters could only look like they're against each other when really they're working together behind the scenes against the Commonwealth. That's interesting. We've seen those kinds of stories unfold before. Other than that, it's probably been one of my favorite episodes this season.
Jim Hall, our friend Gemma, says, I thought it was a great episode. The fight scene between Maggie, Negan, Elijah, and...
Carver.
Carver, yes. Sorry, I lost my words there. Elijah and Carver was excellent. Real teamwork from Negan. I cheered when Gabe said, there's no Jensen here. Yay for Gabriel! It was a real Carol saves the day moment. I'm sad to see Negan go, but I think he's realized now that Maggie won't hesitate to kill him. I'm also sad about Alden, poor guy. That baby back at Alexandria orphaned again. The Connie and Daryl reunion made me cry, but I wanted more. Like a slow motion run across a field moment. I'm also surprised how quickly the Commonwealth arrived at Alexandria. Aren't we all? Even Gabriel was like, can't I even have 5 minutes peace? So glad it's back. It's like coming home. Oh, I agree, Gemma. Completely.
Yeah, totally. Especially coming back with such a great episode. It's awesome. Pam Patrick says, really good episode. Loved Gabriel on the roof as a sniper, upsetting Leah's plans. Hated seeing Alden's fate, but we kind of knew that, didn't we? Daryl and Connie's reunion was great. Loved it. Eugene coming out from the troopers made me smile, too. The final scene was a WTF moment.
Carrie Abels says, poor Alden. As soon as I saw him, I couldn't help but think of Lucy's Peter's distaste for him. What was Peter's reaction to his demise? Inquiring minds want to know. Carrie, I refer you to our earlier statement. We will not be taking further questions at this time.
Danielle Dement Yo says, I really enjoyed this episode. I'm sad about Alden, but suppose there will probably be a lot of death between now and the end. It's not surprising. Yeah, that's true, huh? It's not surprising that that Maggie would keep the Commonwealth at arm's length, and I suspect the flash forward is misleading, so I'm not putting too much stock in it. I'll miss Negan if that's it for him, but I guess his story is pretty much played out. I'm very glad they dispense with the Reaper storyline and move things along in the end. Maybe Negan and Leah will end up together living out in the woods somewhere. Also, I feel like I missed something. Who or what killed the walker that had Aaron held underwater in the basement?
I'm not saying it makes sense, but I thought he squished his head.
Yeah, unless she's talking about a different one. Yeah, I thought he just smashed his head. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my thinking. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it could have gone either way. Mark Nichols says, I was so excited to watch this. It feels like forever since we've had a new episode, and I was so excited to see a resolution to all of the cliffhangers they created. Yet, I left feeling disappointed. So many chances to see our heroes avert danger were not shown. I love that the show is usually smart and lets us use our own imagination for things, but I would have liked to see some. Maggie and Negan had that 4th of July spectacular aimed at them, and there was nothing that showed us how they got out. Aaron getting out of the basement was never shown. How did a rope help him, and how did she get him out? I did like how Gabriel took over the sniper position without us knowing, but there were so many other times I wanted to see how people got out of these sticky situations. Overall, though, I liked the episode a lot. That ending really got me. I loved seeing Maggie and Daryl square off at the end. Since neither of them are in the comic at this point, it made sense that they give them a quick storyline and a flash forward. I also wonder if they are now matching Negan in the comic, but I was again disappointed that we didn't see a better resolution to the 8 episodes of tension created between them. One talk and he walks off. I wanted something bigger. Overall, it was a bit lacking, but I will still be sad when it is gone.
Yeah, I just can't see that being the end of his story.
I think you'll not be disappointed, Mark, I hope.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Yeah.
Where Negan is, fingers crossed.
Barry Evett says, great episode. So sad to see the outcome for Alden, but at least we got closure. The action sequences with Maggie and Daryl were done well, if not a little difficult to watch. They did a good job of making the deaths feel necessary, but also something to be regretted. The Daryl and Connie reunion was heartwarming, and the flash forward scene at the end had me eager to see how all this plays out. An amazing start to the beginning of the end.
Hear, hear. Steve Barr says, I guess I've been watching too much Star Wars, but I think all the soldiers at the end are Daryl clones sent to retrieve the original. That's awesome. Oh my, I think there's a lot of women and men at Walker Stalker who would not object to a hilltop full of Daryl clones. Just saying.
That would be quite an ending. Bit of a
that
left
is a
turn
moneymaker.
There.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a few calls. Here's Owen Griffiths.
Hi, Jason, and I'm assuming it'll be Lucy. This is Owen in Leeds, England, having watched episode 9 of The Walking Dead, season 11. I overall enjoyed the episodes. I found some of it like just a bit cringe inducing. Aaron. Okay. I like Aaron. I like his little hands battering, whatever the hell that thing is. I like his relationship with Grace. It's like, oh, it's sweet, yeah, it's nice, yeah, yeah. But I wanted one of them to die. Is it too much to ask? Like, one of them should be dead. I'd have accepted either. But anyway, he stood in the water, he sees the beam. Yeah, yeah, how's he going to get up there? How's he going to get up there? Oh, it's exciting. Nope, camera pans away. He's already on the fucking beam. All right, okay, sweet, perfect, great. Right, okay, little psycho whisperer girl turns up. She's going to help him. How's she going to help him? Oh, look, there's a rope. Oh, okay, we're going to see him. Nope, he's outside. All right, okay, we don't need to see that. Ridiculous. Elijah. Also, I liked him so much more when he had the mask and he didn't have a say out and he was just this like ominous, scary presence. Now it's just kind of like, he's a bit mopey and wet. Yeah, whatever. Maggie's evil. Maggie is a murderer. Mm. And I have. Negan's the hero for allowing her to live. Oh. Maggie is the villain, 1,000%. And evil cat. So, yeah. 6 months later, Daryl and the gang turn up. Hey guys, can we come in? little pig, let us in. Typical Maggie, don't let him in. What you expect. Anyway, I look forward to your show, guys. I'm assuming it's going to be when the episode's on Disney Plus. I'm rambling now. Ta-ta, bye-bye.
Oh, I love Owen. Love it. Love that accent.
You know, they never really dwelled on why Elijah was wearing a Reaper mask.
I think they were just like, he's sad. He's trauma.
Yeah, but it was a Reaper mask. Like, it made me think, is he a Reaper? Or
yeah. Did he I mean, just, he's like, deep take undercover on the if he is.
Deep, deep undercover. To the point where he's killed
yeah,
everyone.
They never really did they? Huh.
That's funny. All right, here is Steve Brown.
Hey, Walking Dead cast, it's Steve. This is For No Other Way. And I just started it for the first time, and I had to laugh that these are like super Black Ops mercenary guys, and they're shooting fireworks, they're exploding. And that's great effect, the zombies exploding with the fireworks. Yeah. Ooh. And Maggie just had this knockdown, drag-out fight that was really good. Remember, why did Leah kill Pope and frame Daryl for it? Hey, that's one of your guys. Aren't you going to stop him from turning? Come on. Leah and this other guy just walked away. Ooh, Judas' sword just dropped to the bottom of the floor? Aaron, I don't know if you got this. Hold, Gabriel, very cold. Man, this guy's a badass. He's taking on all three of them by himself. He rang his bell. Where did she get that rope? What did she tie it to and how? What? Huh? I guess he's saved. Ah, what a badass line. Call me Gabriel. Dang, Maggie's cold. Oh, that's right. They left the one guy in the, I forgot they left him in this church. Negan's just going to leave like that. Oh, I'm getting choked up. The reunion between Daryl and... Okay, so I'm guessing that the rest of this arc is going to show us how we got 6 months later. Wait to watch this one again and talk to you later.
Live Steve.
Nice roller coaster ride as usual.
Yeah.
Why did Leah kill Pope? And I forgot all of that.
I forgot she did it until I read a recap. I was like, oh yeah, she did it. Was it because he was going to kill? No, oh, I don't remember. Yeah, I don't care.
I don't care. It was all just,
I don't care.
Just pointless. Okay.
Yeah. All he right. Did.
Good Walking Dead.
His hat. She killed him because of his hat.
That's right. All right. Yeah, because she saw the back and she's like, hey, that's a cool hat. And then he turned around and then she killed him when she saw the front.
I'm so sorry for the audio. I was trying to take a drink and I choked. She saw the back of the hat and was like, what the fuck? I thought it was a beanie. He's like, nah, it's a baseball cap with no lip.
You're gonna have to die, buddy. All right, one more call. Here's Penny Lennox.
Oh, Penny.
Hey, it's Penny calling about the first episode of 11B and Maggie's decision to execute all of the Reapers. Mm. Negan reacted to it like it was vengeance and that he also had vengeance coming his way, which is why he left. But really, Maggie was taking his advice from earlier in the season when he said if he could go back and do things differently, he would have killed all of them. Because, of course, they came back, you know, it came back to bite him that he let people go. And Maggie should know this because, you know, the governor came back and the termites came back. Mm-hmm. You want to eliminate all of your enemies. She was just making the strategically wise choice, in my opinion. That's it. Bye.
I mean, yeah, that's true, but he's worried that she still considers him an enemy and will take his advice yet again and kill him.
Mm.
I think.
Well, we do love Penny, though.
Oh, yeah.
Penny's one of the co-hosts on the Yellow Jackets podcast.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah, that's her first podcast, and she's a total natural, and she's awesome.
We love her.
All right, that is our show, episode 459. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Feels great to be back talking about The Walking Dead.
So good.
If you want to give us a call, you can reach us at 650-485-DEAD. That's 650-485-3323.
You can email us at brains@podcastica.com.
And you can find us on the web at facebook.com/podcastica. I don't know if most of you guys know, but that's where we get most of our comments for the episodes. We put up a post every week and people comment, and then we read it in the listener feedback section. And this time I'm going to try putting up posts because the episodes are coming out a week early on AMC Plus, and I know some people watch it then and they want to comment right away. I will put up a post when it comes out on AMC Plus, try to mark it very clearly so no one who hasn't seen the episode yet gets spoiled. You know, if you see that, just don't read the comments. And then a week later, when it actually airs on regular AMC on TV, I'll put up a second post for the same episode. I'm hoping that doesn't confuse people too much, but I'm really just trying to, you know, serve everyone here and let people comment when it's fresh on their mind. So we'll see how it goes.
I really hope that they don't release things in advance in the final third, because it's blowing my mind in a bad way.
Yeah, like, especially because I'm, you know, we're going to try to plan this, and I'm going to get on that real soon. We've already started thinking about it a little bit, but planning this finale watch where people can come and watch it all together, hopefully in a theater or something. And if it's been out on AMC Plus, then how are we gonna time that so that people don't feel like they have to wait to watch it, you know, or whatever.
Yeah
especially for the
I'm
finale.
Hoping they'll tighten up. Yeah, I really hope they'll tighten
up. It's great for the podcast because we can get it early and have time to think about it, but at least for that last one it would be awesome if everyone could just watch it at the same time.
Yeah, it would be a lot better. Oh, and be sure to check out our other shows at podcastica.com.
So, like I mentioned, we're splitting out all the House Podcastica shows into separate podcasts. So basically, suddenly I have like 10 podcasts. It's awesome. And the next one of those will be, as we just mentioned, Penny Lennox and Daphne and Wendy and I going back and covering each of the first 5 episodes of Yellow Jackets in our newly minted Yellow Jackets WTF podcast.
So excited.
Yeah, that'll be cool. And that'll be spoilery, by the way, for you'll have to have seen the first season because we really want to talk about what clues we're seeing in those first episodes and stuff. And then after that, Kirk Manley, the, you know, guy who's a great artist, does Walking Dead tribute art. He and I are covering Moon Knight on Disney Plus.
Oh, fun.
You're going to draw some cool podcast art for that. And then Rima and David and I are going to cover the final season of Better Call Saul.
Oh, that's great. You guys love that show.
I love that show so much. Yeah. It's so
good. That'll be really, really good.
That comes out in April, and then they're going to show the first half and then the second half in July. So that'll be cool.
Oh, that'll be a nice one to do.
So check out all the newly upgraded website at podcastica.com, and you'll see all those podcasts with subscribe links and everything. Next up for this show, well, it may already be in your feed, or at least it'll be out tomorrow, depending on when you're hearing this. It's a quick interview with Ross Marquand. And then next week, Walking Dead Season 11, Episode 10. What's it called? I wrote the wrong thing here.
Return of the Reapers. The Reapers Strike Back.
Let me look it up. Sorry. New Haunts. So that'll be fun. I'm very much looking forward to it. And last, I just would like to mention that this episode is made possible by Patreon supporters like Danielle Aloya, who pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. So thank you to Danielle. We do a call-in show every month. This month, we ask people to submit anonymous, inappropriate questions to me and Lucy, and then we answer them all. And was it fun?
Y'all are sick. Y'all are very... People are listening to this podcast for different reasons than I thought they were, but okay.
I told them, like, don't be shy, so it's kind of my fault.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all good. It's all good. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very funny.
All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get bit, Dwight Edward Jacobs.
That's it. Bye.